try. Think I'm on. Yeah, yeah. So again, hi, I'm Stuart Benn. I'm one of the members of this church, and it's a great privilege to be here this morning with you. I always, just when I'm sort of worshiping beforehand, it's always a nice thing to get a little affirmation of something, maybe a word or a prayer or one of the songs that the worship leaders picked to just sort of align with something that I've been thinking as part of the preparation. And surprisingly today, I found that little affirmation that it would be okay today when I read in the news sheet that, second page, James is away this Sunday morning and Chris is still on sabbatical. So the ministers are away, you know, we can be crazy. We can go crazy. So that was nice. When you hear my sermon, you can work out. I'm sure it's all orthodox, I'm sure. So we're talking, or looking at this, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and my prayer really as we go through this morning is that it'll be much, that what will happen this morning will be more than some form of information transfer. Nothing I'm going to say will surprise you in terms of I've not found a new truth about the Holy Spirit to bring to you this morning. So a lot of what I'm saying you will know. But I'm hoping that we'll get three things out of this morning. First thing, we'll come back to what habit I'm talking about, but is for many of us, despite our intentions, we're not always able to do the thing that we want to do as regards making time for God in our lives. And I want just to hopefully, as we talk, that will stir up a desire for that. I'm going to talk a little bit about the truth. The Holy Spirit, we're told, leads us into all truth. And I want to just explore that a little bit today, and again give us a desire to really seek that out for our current generation for today. Okay, and the third thing is just simply to reimagine again that as we read through the pages of the Bible, the one very constant theme is that God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, and just to again hopefully refill our imaginations with that sense that you and I are ordinary, and yet God chooses us to do extraordinary things in this world and in our lives. Okay, I'm going to read some. I'm going to read from the beautiful passage in John's Gospel 14 through to 16. I'm just going to take certain verses out of that. You recall this is the time Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's the most intimate and beautiful passage in Scripture in terms of Jesus just in with his disciples, just talking clearly. No metaphors, no parables, just simply, this is what it's like. And importantly, because he's just about to leave them, about the Holy Spirit as well. So I thought this would be our text for today. So if you, let me just read through a few verses from 14, 15, 16 in John's Gospel. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Amen. So I just want to highlight some of these. Just go back through just about 7 or 8 of these things, just to say them again, and then we'll just look at them in little collections of them. He, the Holy Spirit, will be with you forever. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything that Jesus said. He will testify about Jesus. He will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Jesus. And so I'm just going to look at this under 4 headings. First one is, he will be with you forever. It's a huge encouragement as we think sort of a long term, that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. You know, I believe beyond the envelope of this life, he will be with us. He stands with us right through this life and beyond. And that's a great comfort and encouragement to us. But I also want to use this forever as well, just in that sense of through whatever, he'll be with us. And, you know, that beautiful passage in Philippians when Paul talks about how God's peace can come, a peace beyond human understanding to guard our hearts and minds. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit's peace that comes. Jesus said he would give us his peace, not as the world knows. And it's just a great encouragement that there will be hard times. All of us face things in our lives which are hard, and you know, in all different areas of our lives. But I bet if I invited each one of you up here, you would be able to testify to times where, despite that, you found or knew a peace beyond understanding. And that's what he brings. That's what he gives us. It's a promise, and it's something we should certainly ask for, particularly in these tough times. So he will be with us forever. That's the first thing. Second thing is, he will bring glory to Jesus. He will remind us of everything that Jesus said. He will testify about Jesus. And in fact, the verse about he will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment is also, I believe, referring to Jesus as well. The important thing here was, the disciples listening to Jesus at this time took what Jesus said and, with the Holy Spirit, did that very thing. They wrote down the words of Jesus, the actions, what Jesus did, the events of his life and his death and his resurrection, and made that available for us. So the Holy Spirit guided them to write the Gospels. And when you read the Gospels now and the words of Jesus, you know, even now, they're so understandable and accessible. You know, 2,000 years after they're written, not much literature, 2,000 years on, is so accessible and understandable. And that's the second thing of this thing, that he says that the important thing is that the Holy Spirit would let us understand what these things meant. So by that I mean, things happened in Jesus' life and it had a significance. And the Holy Spirit allows us to understand that significance. Okay, so it's not just a question of us knowing knowledge and facts about Jesus' life, it's understanding the significance of these things. So, for example, when he talks about the Spirit being, it comes to convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment, that's about because Jesus says, as regard to sin, because they don't believe in me. And what the Spirit is doing is saying, you know, Jesus was given to the world. It gave the world a choice, light or darkness. And people make a choice on that basis. When Jesus was around people, he said that what I say is, the words I say are not my own, they're from my Father. I've come from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. He said that. And people were unhappy with that. You know, they were unhappy that he was from God or that he was speaking on God's behalf. And yet, when he died and rose again and ascended into heaven to go back to the Father, it showed that he had come from the Father and was going back to him. as regard to righteousness, and as regards to judgment, the one thing which, until Jesus' passion and resurrection, the one thing, the one corruption in the world which was unable to be overcome was death. Death had the last word, no matter who you were. No matter if you were a fantastic rabbi or whoever you were, death had the last word. Except when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended again, he overcame that. So the very last thing that the prince of darkness had over this world was destroyed with Jesus' resurrection. And in that way, the Spirit allows us to understand what Jesus, the significance of these events. And that's for us as well now. You know, we have to ask ourselves, what is the significance of these events for my life, in my home, in my workplace, my school? What is the significance of Jesus' life and these events? The Holy Spirit will bring these things into the right perspective, into the right understanding for us. Another nice thing about that is that Jesus doesn't say that you need the Holy Spirit plus an expert or a theologian or someone else to interpret for you. We need the Holy Spirit. As we have Scripture and the Holy Spirit, we can understand these things. And that's a nice thing. It's nice not to devolve. In so much of life, we devolve things to the experts. You know, for things like your car engine and stuff, it's probably better the expert does it than you do it. Or, you know, maybe some advanced brain surgery. But most things in life, particularly things to do with our own well-being, if we've been given the tools, and God says, with the Holy Spirit and with Scripture, you will understand these things, then we're kind of being lazy to just accept the expert's view. Okay, so an encouragement for us that we have been given the opportunity and the resources to actually understand the significance of Jesus in our lives. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us into all truth. And I use the example of, you know, he's not here today, but you know Yuri, who plays the thing in the, you know, over here in the morning. So if I don't play the saxophone, but I decide to learn to play the saxophone, so Yuri kindly offers to teach me, and we arrange to meet every Saturday morning for, you know, as long as it takes for me to become as good as he is. And so, you know, 6 months or so should do that, I'm sure. But, you know, the first week I couldn't meet because I was working, and the second week he was working, third week I was, you know, sick, fourth week he was sick, and so it goes on. And after about a year, we've only met 3 or 4 times, if that. And then, unsurprisingly, my saxophone playing hasn't come on very much because, you know, I've not really spent any time doing it. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is there to teach and to guide us, but we must create a place for him to do that. And we must create the time in our lives to allow him to do that. And, you know, now some of you who are probably more disciplined than I, maybe, you know, already have this crack. But for me, I intend to spend time each day praying and reading. That's my intention, but it doesn't happen. And so we have to create habits to allow him, both in our personal lives and in our corporate lives, to a space for him to talk and to minister to us. You know, I really like it when as a service we don't timetable everything into every minute of the service. We have a little time, sometimes after the word's spoken, but somewhere we just allow God to speak to us or to reflect, maybe speak quietly to us or maybe through a word that somebody brings. When Stephen Samuel, who comes to you with his little clipboard to talk about the prayer meeting, you know, that should be the high point of all our week, the fact that we're getting invited to spend time together, inviting God's Spirit into our lives and into the life of the church. And in our home groups, the same way that time we spend creating time. I mean, at one time, I used for a little while, and I don't know why I stopped it, I had a little habit where I wouldn't eat food until I'd eaten something food-wise, you know, from here, some spiritual food, or prayed. And it was quite easy because that was a very easy habit to remember. It's a bit like brushing your teeth. It's something you just did because you... It happened for a while, but it doesn't happen anymore. But I need to, and I'd encourage us, we need to find time to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to teach us. Or how can we really grow in our journey with him? Okay, so that's the third thing. And the second thing that in this bit, he will guide us into all truth. And this is something which I've been thinking a lot about recently. I have a strong conviction that we have to make, we have to interpret the truth for our current age, for our current generation. Okay, so this is a very helpful book if anybody gets a chance to read it, called A New Kind of Christian by Brian McLaren, who's an American pastor and theologian. What this book is about is just simply saying the world is changing. You know, we lived in a sort of modern world, we're probably postmodern, getting in there now, and the church has to respond to that in the sense of we must make our message relevant to the generation we're part of. You know, I was a child of the 70s. You know, I came to faith in the 70s, like this young couple. And you all know who that is, yeah? It's the Bentleys. you know, when I came to faith, the people who discipled me and mentored me had come to faith in the 60s. You know, and the things we did and how we interpreted things was part of that time. The world has changed a lot since then, and you know, you know, these two have hardly changed at all actually. But you know, we get a glimpse with something like the Amish community, who you know, there's a lot. I'm not saying this to speak against them. There's a lot, you know, that we can learn from their faithfulness and discipline and family values and lots of things. But this picture of the church to the current generation, there's a mismatch. And I don't believe that God wants us all to do that. I leave that damage to sort of work out their own salvation. But for me, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And the truth has to be relevant for today's generation. And, you know, I mean, just to give you a couple of examples, and again, this is part of my generation, part where I lived, because the west of Scotland is quite a sectarian, you know, it's a bit like Northern Ireland light, west of Scotland. But when I was growing up in a very vibrant, lively fellowship like this, most people would have considered all the people in the Roman Catholic Church next door not to be Christians, for example. Very few people would have thought, say, for example, that the earth wasn't created in 6 days. So any suggestion those days might be literal or non-literal days, a much longer time period, wouldn't really have been accepted. You know, nowadays, if you ask a lot of people, a lot of Christians, you know, who believe the Bible, would say that in their belief they would have room for both of these things. That there's a lot of very vibrant Christians in Roman Catholic Church. Goodness sake, for 1,500 years, we were all Roman Catholics. So, you know, simple maths. But, you know, so but in the time and that zone and where I was, that's what was done. Now, the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. And what I'm inviting us to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in the truth for today, so that how we present the wonderful, glorious gospel to those people who don't come to church yet or who don't know him yet is in a way that's right for today. And I believe the Holy Spirit will guide us in that. Okay. So I have to go back so I didn't do this again. And finally, the fourth thing I want to say is the Spirit will tell us what's yet to come. And obviously, as we read through Scripture, one thing he tells us is kind of the big picture. He tells us that Jesus is reconciling all things to himself, and at one point in the future, that will be complete. That work will be complete. There'll be a time where all the things which are not right will be put in place, will be sorted out. And that's a nice thing. It's a great thing to know that as we look long term, we see the big picture. And the Holy Spirit, you know, has given the writers of Scripture that sense. But I'd like us to also consider this as the Holy Spirit understands the narrative of what God is doing in our lives. And As I read through Scripture, one of the books which just I always keep coming back to are the Acts of the Apostles. And I always think the name of that particular book is wrong, because it's actually, it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes at the beginning of the Acts, and everything in the Acts is about the Holy Spirit doing extraordinary things in ordinary people's lives. You know, that's what that book's about. Anyway, and I love just not so much the big characters are obviously very inspirational, but it's the small characters. It's like, I did this in the first service, and one person got this right. Does anybody know where Onesiphorus is? He's not in Acts. Does anybody know where he is in the Bible? He might actually, because John Coyle thought that, he might be in Philemon. Anywhere else? He's in Timothy, 2 Timothy. Let me just read you about Onesiphorus. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. This single man, he's not a bigwig. There's no book of Onesiphorus in the New Testament. He's an ordinary man who, at the end of Paul's life, searched out. He obviously, to a great risk to himself, looked for a condemned man who was soon to be executed, found him and ministered to him in his senior years. And he looked for him in Rome. He didn't just look for him and then say, look for him, didn't find him, prayed for him, job done. He looked for him and kept looking until he found him. And again, just an ordinary man, ended up doing an extraordinary thing and ends up in the pages of Scripture. And what I just want to really sort of, again, encourage us is to see our lives as just a continuation of that Acts, the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit is active in the same ordinary people that they were, that we are, and wants to do extraordinary things in us. So to conclude, the pictures again. If, like me, you need a habit to help us open ourselves up to having regular, daily time to really allow the Holy Spirit to teach and to guide us, we need to develop a habit. We all need to keep asking, Lord, make your truth, the glorious truth that you've revealed to us, relevant for today's generation. And that will change. That will change with each generation. And we kind of reboot our imaginations that we are the Ananiases and the Onesiphoruses and the ordinary people that are recorded in Scripture who end up doing extraordinary things. And I want just to finish with one story. This is a story of a pastor in a church. A church probably not much big, well, about the same size as we are here. And he was a good bloke, this pastor. He was a nice fella, but he wasn't a very gifted speaker. You know, he was the sort of speaker where at the end of the sermon, people would say, but he's very good at visiting and he's very good at other things, but he's not very good at preaching. So he wasn't very charismatic. You know, he didn't get many people coming to church to hear him preach, okay? And the church itself was beginning to age. There wasn't very many children in it. It was all sort of people whose children had grown up and some older folks. And it was a number about this size here. And this visitor came along to this church, and he was looking at it, and he was thinking the church statistics, and, you know, this is exactly the church that I bet over the next few years, unless something, you know, big happens, it's just going to decline. You know, that's what we see. Anyway, so this visitor left, and he went back about 2 years later to visit the church again. And he goes back, and this church is absolutely throbbing, thriving. It's tripled in size. There's kids coming along. You know, it's like our church, if both congregations joined together again, and it's, you know, like doors open, everybody kids. And this visitor, sort of, you know, who visits church, he's an international sort of speaker and goes around lots of churches. You know, said to the pastor, you know, I'm amazed. You know, when I was here before, your church was, you know, of a modest size, and it's much larger now. And you know, what's the secret? What have you done? Or what's happened? And the pastor said, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, who knows where the Spirit blows? You know, I don't know. He said, all I know is that about 2 years ago, I started doing something I hadn't been doing before. He said, I used to go out to a, near where the church was, there was a big sort of housing development, a bit like, you know, the high rise, like down in Northway, the high rise flats. So like about five of these in one area. And he said, and I just took my little fold up chair and I'd put it down, I'd sit down and I'd just look at these houses on a Thursday afternoon between about 2 and 4. And I would just pray for them. And I'd just pray, Lord, I'm sure there's some folks who are struggling here. You know, just pray for all those who are grieving or who've been hurt recently, and just pray for them. And then he'd maybe see a woman come out with her toddlers and, you know, trying to control 3 or 4 kids. And he'd say, he'd just pray, and he'd pray for the person. And he would just say, Lord, I bet there's lots of... you know, there's probably lots of single parents in this. You know, it's a fairly modest, sort of poorish neighborhood. Pray for single moms and for single dads, and pray for the preschools and pray for... And he would just go through all this. And he would just sit there for 2 hours, you know, being kind of guided by what he saw. But if not, he would just pray for them. He didn't pray for any of them to come to his church. And then he said extraordinary things started happening. People would come to church, and I'd say hello, and they'd say... Funny thing happened to me today. I was just sitting here Sunday going, I should go to church. And I've not been for about 25 years, but I thought, I should go. And they'd go. And then someone else would be just coming out of a divorce. And then they said, you know, the reason I've not been to church for 10 years is my partner didn't want to go to church. And we've broken up now, and I should go to church. And they'd come back. And the majority of folks in this the bigger church were people who are not Christians, the people who'd come to church, you know, maybe they'd been a believer very young, but a majority, it wasn't Christians moving churches like we do and finding a good preacher and saying, I'll go there. I quite like that. It's quite nice, this church. It was people being drawn because God's Spirit was just simply saying to them, you should come to church. So extraordinary things happening through ordinary people who took the time to just sit down and pray for 2 hours a week over a whole area. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and to touch ordinary lives like ours and to do something fantastic, something supernatural, something extraordinary, with very ordinary jars of clay like us. Father, we don't want to leave here and just nod our approval and say, lots of things to think about. Lord, we want to take a step forward with you, and in whatever way, just open ourselves up to more of your Holy Spirit working in us and leading us and guiding us. How could we want anything less than like something we just heard of that story of people who are yet as yet unchurched finding a way to you and finding the good news of your coming. And Lord, that just means that we need to get a bit disciplined. We need to pray. We need to support the already structures of prayer and other things which are going on in our fellowship. So be it. But also, Lord, if you're leading us to new things, new ways of understanding your truth for today, or new ways of doing things, then again, let us, you know, give us those dreams and those passions for that. As a fellowship, we believe in the Holy Spirit who comes to do extraordinary things in our midst. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' beautiful name, amen.